Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kilman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, how are things going on your end of the world?
Adam, we are doing good, gearing up for the NHL Combine, of course, to begin in June. Then we got the draft in Vegas later in June. It's a great time of the year with conference finals going on and the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're continuing our regional coverage this month on NHL Draft Class. Today, our guest will be John Williams of NHL Central Scouting, who specializes in evaluating players from the Western Hockey League. Always very informative, to the point. And it's intriguing this year, Adam, because the Dub, 10 of the top 32 players, or skaters, I should say, are listed on Central Scouting's final rankings play in the Western Hockey League. So that includes three in the top 10. So a lot of interesting topics and questions we have to get to with John regarding the Dub. It's going to be interesting and a good one today.
Right. And before we get to John, we have a little bit of draft-related news. With the conference finals being set, Edmonton, the fourth of the four teams making the Final Four with their win against the Vancouver Canucks in Game 7 on Monday night. We know the order for the first 28 teams of the 2024 draft. So that's all set. You know, the Flyers, the Ducks, San Jose, Chicago, Montreal, Ottawa, and Calgary. We know where their two picks in the first round of the draft are going to be. So we're getting ready to get to the Sphere, and we know who's going to be picking when. It'll all be set after the Stanley Cup final, the final four teams, how the conference finals, how the Stanley Cup final lay out. But the puzzle pieces are coming together, Mike.
Yeah, they are. You know, when you have 28 teams, you know, locked in pretty much for the draft, you kind of formulate where certain players might be headed. This year, it's unpredictable, I think, after Celebrini, but it's going to be interesting down the stretch, no doubt.
Absolutely. But let's get to John Williams from NHL Central Scouting. John, thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start right with the top there. Caden Lindstrom is a top-rated player from the Western League this season, despite playing only 32 games. He missed the entire second half of the season. I know he came back a little bit in the Western League playoffs, but what in your eyes still made him the best draft-eligible player in the Western League this season? And as a follow, what is he capable of when he's healthy?
Well, I think a lot of it stems from how much he's improved over the last couple of years. I can't remember if I'd seen him before the under 17, but I saw him at the under 17. I think he was a late add to that. And that's when Canada had three teams. So he earned more ice time as the tournament went on. He was 13th forward, and then he gets up on the power play. He's playing higher in the lineup. And, you know, as he's big, he's strong, he's exceptionally quick off the mark. And so I think, you know, he went from a 19 goal season, you know, as a 16-year-old to on pace for 50, 60 goals this year, if, you know, had he played the full season. So, you know, again, you know, as we watch the playoffs and you see how the game is being played, here's a guy who's 6'4", off the mark, one of the quickest guys off the mark. And he can make plays, he can score, and he's got a bit of that, a little bit of a mean streak. So he's not afraid to, you know, get involved physically or take charge physically. So he ticks all the boxes that you would want as an NHL team, big center that can take over games.
Yeah, he's unique in that regard, John. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Like when you watch the playoffs today, and what makes him unique is the fact that, just as you mentioned, that mean streak that he does have, the size he has with the skill he plays with, and then to have a mean streak to go along with that. It's. I mean, you can go back in NHL draft history. There are just, you know, a select few that have those type of qualities to bring to a team. So that's going to be interesting where he falls despite missing all the time. But before I start, I want you to know, John, I don't intend to ask any NHL comparables in any.
Thank you.
Keep in mind, you are always welcome to share a comparable to any prospect we discuss, since I know how much you absolutely enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. I know I have mentioned the comparable for Caden to you before. And I mean, yeah, I don't like doing it. But he does have, you know, like I saw Eric Lindros play when he was 16 years old or 15 years old. And that's the name that comes to mind for me, you know, just that big, strong, can do everything. So I think that's where you know, the only thing that holds him back, I think, in the draft really would be how his health is. You know, if he's 100% and all the issues, you know, that he injuries and stuff are 100% and he's good to go, then hard guy to go by.
Two forward prospects next to one another in Central's rankings are Spokane center Berkeley Catton at number 8, Kelowna center T.J. Ginla at number 9. Ginla holds the slight advantage in stature, 6 foot, 182. But what does Catton bring that Ginla does not, John, and maybe vice versa?
They're really close. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, depending on who's picking, would it surprise me to see Tiege go ahead of Berkeley? Not at all. Like, although Tiege this year played primarily on the wing and Berkeley was in the middle, I think what Berkeley did so well this year on a team that was, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, so they, you know, they're not a great team, but he was one of the top scorers in the league. He had, I, you know, 56 goals or something like that, 115 points, I think, in that range, and led the league in shorthanded goals. I think he was second in the league. I was looking at this, like, which kind of astounded me. He was second in the league in game-winning goals on a team that didn't win a lot of games. So he was just an all-round impact player. But and I think he distributes the puck a little bit better right now than Tiege does. But again, different position, you know, different roles kind of thing. Tiege was there to score goals, and he does that exceptionally well. So there's not a lot of separation there. I think Tiege is a little bit tougher because I did see them fight each other, and Tiege got the win in that pretty handily. So, but both great players, and I think both players that will be very good NHL players.
John, I want to shift to the back end for a minute. This draft class is stocked with big, strong, gifted defensemen. You look at Calgary's Carter Yakimchuk. He's 6'3", 201. He's number 13 on the final rankings. What did you see from him that put him into that high-end group with the Dickinsons and the Lev Schnaubs, and we're talking about him as a potential lottery pick?
Yeah, he's like, he's right there, I think, in a lot of ways with those guys. And, you know, the way the situation goes sometimes, you know, his team wasn't great this year. And like, as a 6'3" defenseman, right shot that scored 30 goals on a non-playoff team, like, it was very impressive what he did. You know, I think he also had over 100 minutes in penalties. So he's no shrinking violet either. So he will bring a lot of different elements. I think his game has improved over the last couple of years. And I think right now where he's a little bit behind those guys, and even though he's a late birthday in some ways, he looks to me anyway like he's a little bit younger physically right now. He hasn't fully matured into his frame. So I think, you know, down the road when this kid's, you know, 22, 23 years old and he's fully matured and you know, gets that man strength, he's going to be a real, real tough guy to deal with.
Everett left-handed center Julius Mäntynen, one of the top import players, I would imagine, John, in the Dub this season. He was 49 at the midterm in January. He's number 18 on the final list. Goes about 6'2", 203, good size, really skilled in tight areas. I think he averaged over a point a game this season. And he was named this season's U.S. Division Rookie of the Year in the Dub. What did you see from him over the second half of the season that enabled Central to maybe, you know, move him into that projected first-round territory of the draft?
Well, from the start, like, he scored in his first game, but he only had, I think he was 1-1 in his first 10 games. So he didn't get off to a real fast start in the Western League, and he had a little bit of trouble with the pace early on. And then I remember I wasn't at the prospects game, but I looked at the testing and I saw that he tested very well in the skating, and I'm thinking, that can't be right. There's like, he's not that quick. And then, you know, I see him in the second half, I saw him in Swift Current, and then I saw him at home quite a few, don't live too far from there. And he really improved his foot speed and quickness. He was pulling away from people. He was able to pressure, you know, offensively a lot better than he had in the first half. And I think he got accustomed to the pace. I think his conditioning improved over the course of the year. And he brings that size. Again, another guy with a little bit of a mean streak. He's not, you know, afraid to stick his nose into things. Very good net front type of presence. So he's got very good hands, good little short game around the net. So his game just got better and better and better as the season went on. And then the real, you know, like I said, the question that we had about him early on was the skating speed, and he answered that. So, you know, he's a guy that I think can really be an impact type of player down the road.
John, Tarek Parasak from Prince George. A year ago, he's playing Bantam Hockey at the Edge School. This season, he comes in, he leads WHL rookies with 105 points, the most by any rookie in 25 years. How have you seen him grow so high so fast, where he's number 15 in the final rankings and possibly a first-round pick this year?
Yeah, I was shocked. You know, when I didn't know anything about him going into the year, and you know, I think he was like a fourth round pick in the Western League. I don't think Prince George actually, you know, knew how good this kid was going to be. But what impressed me was his hockey IQ. He's got elite hockey sense on both sides of the puck, and I think, you know, he got off to a very quick start, and you're going back to see him and thinking, well, at some, he can't maintain this pace that he's on. There's, you know, it's going to wear off. We've seen it happen before, but he just continued like all the way through the season in the playoffs. Like, he was an impact player for a very good team. And, you know, the knock on him was his skating. You know, he's not really strong on his skates and he doesn't have a lot of speed, but he ends up behind people all the time. He gets a lot of chances. He's an excellent penalty killer. And so I just saw a kid that over the course of the season maintained a high level of play and showed that he deserved to be in that conversation with other top end players.
Tanner Howe was a player we talked a lot about, John, in 22-23 when he played with Connor Bedard in Regina. An in-your-face, hard-nosed left wing with the Pats. And he had a productive season, 28 goals, 77 points. He plays that tough style, 77 PIMs in 68 games. Number 41 on the final list. What do you think you know, he'd bring to an NHL organization? And would you say he's a player no club could, you know, sleep on if he's still there in the middle to late second round?
Yeah, I think that's where he fits. He didn't have the goal scoring season that I, you know, we were kind of projecting, having seen him get 30 plus the year before. But I think the thing for Tanner is that he played in the bubble, whenever that was, 100 years ago. So he's been in the Western League. It seems like he's been there forever, even though, you know, he's only first year draft eligible. So, you know, we tend to pick apart those guys a little bit, you know, because they've been around for so long. But he's a very tenacious, gritty kind of a player, like you said, and he can score, he can make plays, but he's, I think, a player that has that ability to have a B game. Like, he can do other things to help his team, whether it be killing penalties or, you know, he could play up and down your lineup. He can bring a lot of different elements, and he'll push guys that are ahead of him and make them better. So yeah, I think he's a guy that, you know, he's a little bit undersized, but there's a big heart in the way he plays and a high, you know, compete level. So I don't think you want to play against him every night.
John, Adam Jecko is a guy who I found very interesting. He comes over to Edmonton this season from Europe. He's a big guy, 6'5", 197, but not really what you would call a big-time physical player. How did you see him adjust to being in the Western League? You know, he's born in Czechia, plays three seasons in Finland, comes over to play for the Oil Kings. What's the ceiling for a player that big once he maybe gets his skating where it needs to be?
I think the ceiling for him is very high. I think we tend to, you know, with players that are that big, remember, he's 17, turning 18 years old. That's a big body in a young, you know, for a young person. And getting that all going together at one time is not always an easy thing. And I think he, you know, it took him a little while to adjust to the pace and the physicality in the Western League, but I thought he managed it pretty well as the season went on. He still you know, he ended up with over 20 goals. He had some injury issues. I think, you know, at the prospects game, I think he had a bit of a knee thing or something. So that also played into his season. But, you know, you probably saw that he was a highly touted tennis player in his youth. So he's an athlete. And a guy that big with that athletic ability, his skating is going to improve. He's going to get stronger. And, you know, again, when he's 22, 23, he's going to be a difficult guy to handle.
John, there are times I think it's important to provide fans some background to each of the scouts at Central. It's so interesting and intriguing and unique where you guys have come from and the route you've taken to get to where you are now. Prior to being hired by Central in 2014, you already had an extensive scouting background spanning over 35 years. That included time as an amateur scout, as an assistant director of amateur scouting with Columbus Blue Jackets for many years. What did you look for during the interviewing and testing stages at the NHL Scouting Combine at that time? And do you have any maybe good stories to share regarding an interview or a test that really popped unexpectedly that enabled a player to maybe move up a few notches on your list?
Am I allowed to swear?
We got to go to our producer on that one. Oh, there we go. Thumbs up.
Okay. Because I could tell, and it wasn't me. It was actually when my dad was he was working for Tampa early on. And they were interviewing Darius Kasparaitis and I think maybe Kovalev, you know, and they have the interpreters are in there and they're, you know, talking to them and getting the questions. And as they were finishing up the interview, you know, and both players who don't speak English, don't understand English. And so as the, as they're winding up the interview, Corey Cross shows up. He was coming out of Canadian University and Corey Cross is huge, 6'4", 220 pounds, just a huge, huge guy. And, he walks in the room as those guys were walking out and Darius Kasparaitis, who's 5'11", just turns his head and goes, "Holy fuck." Couldn't believe how big this guy was. But, for me at the combine, what's interesting is where they're at physically. It's such a huge range, you know, like when I was with Columbus, we drafted, Matt Calvert and, Mikey Riley, who are two kind of small, not really big guys. And I think sometimes going to the combine can have a negative impact for a player. Cause people see like Mikey's wearing a hat. He's got braces. He looks like he's 10 years old, you know? And I think you get kind of caught up in the size and not remembering this guy's a very good hockey player and very smart. And he's still very young and they're going to grow. And so I think that's an interesting part to have your strength and conditioning people at that event to have a look at all the players and see where they believe this player can get to. And I think Matt was a very endearing guy because he was from Brandon. He played in Brandon and he worked at the local gas station and was just a really, you know, charming kind of kid, really just a very down to earth sort of person. And, you know, I think his, and we, I think we took him in the fifth or sixth round. So, you know, like he impressed us enough though that, you know, at a certain point you just, you know, this kid's got something. And, you know, you take him in the sixth round, you're not sure he's going to play in the National Hockey League, but you know, you're getting a quality person who's going to give everything they have. And that was a player that Matt was.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I mean, so that's right. I mean, you just don't know. And I know there are going to be 100 prospects going to the combine this year. So a lot of players, obviously, that aren't going to be selected in the top two rounds. So teams want to see what these other guys are like. And if you're able to get one fourth, fifth, sixth round, you may be able to get a diamond in the rough there. So just to kind of wrap up here, John, is there any dub player we didn't discuss today you feel would make a nice mid to late round selection and why?
A few guys that come to mind to me that were had been through the draft. Andre Becker is one that played in Prince George, who's 04. And he is actually a guy who's been invited to the combine, which is kind of a rare thing for a guy who's been through the draft a couple of times. And, you know, he's a player that, you know, in his second year in Prince George's, I think he almost tripled his output offensively. And he showed at the World Junior that he's a, you know, he's an elite player in his age group, on the international stage. So I think he's got a good chance. He might go a little bit higher than the mid rounds, but, and then there's a couple other defensemen, Nate Miskey in Victoria, right shot, 6'3" and plus defenseman who, was a little overshadowed in his draft year, kind of a third pair guy as a first year full-time player. And this year really took a step up and, you know, was a big contributor offensively. Unfortunately got hurt and missed about 20 games. So that might hurt him a little bit. And Eric Jameson, who plays in Everett, another 05 defenseman who was a third pair guy who came into the season this year and was a real leader for Everett. And, was an impact player for them on a nightly basis, playing a heavy, hard two-way game. The kind of guy that you watch, you know, you see the Chris Tanevs of the world, or is it Chris or Brandon? I can't, which the defenseman anyway, but play that heavy, hard type of game, even though they're not huge, but you need those guys to win hockey games.
Well, John, that's fantastic stuff. We could talk all day about some of these top guys in the Western League. Thank you for educating us. Thank you for educating our fans. And we look forward to seeing you at the draft.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, guys.
Mike, that was great stuff from John. What really popped for me was Eric Lindros. He mentioned Eric Lindros in correlation with Caden Lindstrom. Look, body type, maybe Lindstrom can get there. I mean, Lindros was huge, but the skill set and the skating from a guy that big, that strong, and he mentioned the nasty streak that he had. You know, I think with Caden Lindstrom, you just wish you saw more of him this year. Only 32 games, but 27 goals. So, you know, we've had a chance to watch some video of him. Do you see that? Could you see the little bits of similarities there in a Hall of Famer in Eric Lindros compared to where Caden Lindstrom, you know, the potential ceiling is?
Yeah, I mean, initially, Adam, when I watched Caden, and you know, I was checking out some video from actually last season. You know, you think of Matt Nyes from the Maple Leafs, you think of Matt Boldy from the Wild. I mean, those were the players that were kind of entering my mind at the time I'm watching him. But after hearing John's comments, and let's face it, you know, Lindros was the number one pick in the draft, in that draft, in his draft year. So, Caden Lindstrom, now, let's face it, like, yes, Celebrini is the guy here, Adam. I think we can agree on that. But what if Caden Lindstrom played an entire season and scored 70-plus goals and had over 100 PIMs, was getting into fights and winning fights or whatever he might have been doing? I mean, that would be a pretty interesting debate come the top of this draft to see if you needed an elite top center. And in the case of the San Jose Sharks, they need someone at that position to really guide them into the future. We know it's going to be a celebrating, but Caden Lindstrom, you know, has that ability. And John discussed it and he talked about it. You watch the Stanley, and fans can see it. You watch the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. You need those big, strong players down the middle of the ice. You need guys that are going to go to the net, that are going to grind in the corners, that are going to make plays for the wingers. And Caden Lindstrom does that. And, you know, you're right. It is a shame we didn't get to see him play an entire season. Obviously, he was resting up still, so he didn't go to the U18s as well to play for Team Canada. But look, this is a player, the more and more I think about it, Adam, you know, he could go, you know, top five, top 10 in this draft. 1.44 points per game this season was the highest average by a draft eligible skater from Medicine Hat since Joffrey Lupo had 1.47 in 2001-02. So, and the other point I'd just like to make too, I guess it's this week during Memorial Cup week, the Canadian Hockey League is going to announce winners of its 10 major awards, May 23rd through June 2nd in Saginaw, Michigan. And the most intriguing to us is the Top Prospect Award. And this year, the three finalists for that award, Lidstrom is from the Dub. and he missed almost half the season. Then you have Zane Parikh. We all know about Parikh in the OHL, and Maxim Massé from Chicoutimi in the QMJHL. So three great young players there as top prospects. But I think it's interesting that Lidstrom is on that list, despite the fact, you know, he played basically half a season.
Now, we did our mock drafts, and you can find them on NHL.com, and you can listen to that episode on a previous episode of NHL Draft Class, us talking about it. But, Mike, you said Lindstrom could go top five. What if he goes number two? What if you're the Chicago Blackhawks with the number two pick in the draft, and you've got your franchise center, Connor Bedard? Now, you could take one of these outstanding defensemen. We both believe that's what's going to happen, Artem Levchinov from Michigan State. But what if you continue building your depth through the middle? What if you look at a 6'3", 210-pound kid who can skate, who can shoot, who can be nasty, who could maybe play the wing in a pinch if you need to? You look at Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, right? They could both center their own line, or you could put them together. What about Caden Lindstrom and Connor Bedard in Chicago? That's got to be super intriguing. If I'm the Blackhawks sitting there, knowing Celebrini's going to go number one, or shouldn't say knowing, assuming that Celebrini's going to go number one, and you're sitting there with the potential to add another franchise center, knowing how many top-end defensemen are in the draft, knowing you have another first-round pick at number 20, the Tampa Bay Lightning selection, there's going to be another good defenseman there. What do you think about Caden Lindstrom as a number two pick in the draft?
You know what? Like, when I look at a lot of the mock drafts that we have, you know, that are out there right now, it seems like, and I don't know what you've seen, but, you know, Ivan Demidov seems to be the next best four in a lot of these mock drafts that I'm seeing. Lidstrom, and I think the only thing holding him back, which is what John alluded to, was, you know, the fact that he was injured and playing half the season. Because, heck, if he played that full season, maybe we'd be comparing and debating who should go number one in this draft as far as centers forwards go here. But yeah, you know, it boggles the mind. Would Chicago do something like that? To me personally, I don't know if they'd be bold enough to make that type of move when you have some elite defensemen in this draft class. And obviously it's an area of need. Let's face it, Chicago can use a lot of areas here. They're building. They got a real good pipeline of prospects. But yeah, to get a Caden Lindstrom, big, powerful centerman, it makes you wonder if that's the direction you want to go, how could you blame them? But personally for me, I do think they're going to go defenseman here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Yeah. And as I said, we talked about that on a previous episode when we recapped our mock drafts for the NHL after the NHL draft lottery. So definitely go back and check that episode out. Check back all of our draft class episodes. As Mike said earlier, we're hitting all the regions. We spoke in the JF Damfus about the top players in the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League. We spoke to Al Jensen about some of the top goalies available in the draft. We've spoke to Dan Marr about the final rankings. He's the director of NHL Central Scouting, and we're going to have much more with some of the top minds from NHL Central Scouting. We're also going to talk to some of the top players when we go up to the Scouting Combine, June 3rd to the 10th. Mike, NHL Draft Class, you know, I'm not biased here or anything, but I believe if you want to know what your team is going to do with the draft, you have to subscribe to NHL Draft Class, because we are going to have all the top minds, all the top players.
Yeah, I love the fact we were able to, and you mentioned it, we were able to break down our initial mock drafts following the NHL Draft Lottery on May 7th, which was a lot of fun. Created plenty of water cooler talk there. Of course, I'm always right with all my selections. You can look at Adam's picks and maybe, you know, assert maybe this guy. Yeah, Kimmelman got that one right. But, you know, you look at Moriel's and it's all set there for you. You know who's going to go where, who's going to draft who. Do they need a forward? Do they need a D? You look at Moriel's. There you go, Adam. There you go.
Hey, Bob, where's that mute button? Can I borrow that for a minute? God, never have I looked forward to saying this more, but Mike, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.